everyone, and welcome to episode 45 of Radio Radar. We have an incredible show planned for you today. All right, that's a lie. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Henry Gilbert. That's
Greg,
right.
Greg Henniger.
Ryan Telgenick.
So, thank you, Ryan.
Quick admission to make. It is Tuesday when we're recording this.
It's Tuesday, so, as they say on other podcasts.
Yes. The public transportation system of San Francisco is fucked.
Boo.
They're striking. Yep. And because of that, and the fact that this week is the 4th of July...
It's a great time for a nice mint julep.
I listened to that yesterday. I was dying laughing. That was awesome.
So
I forgot you were quoting me.
I remember. I know exactly what we can do on this episode.
So we, the issue is we realized that on Tuesday, we realized it about 5 minutes ago, that we're not in the office at all this week after today.
Nope.
So we'd better record a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to working from home, except it's like so hot in the East Bay right now. It's like 80 degrees. I mean,
it's on. It's that hot everywhere.
You grew up in Florida. How disgusted
with
would your Floridian self be with that?
Here's the thing. There's air conditioning everywhere in Florida. There's
Ryan, do you want to work from the zoo tomorrow?
Listen, no. Well, maybe.
By the lemur section.
It drives me nuts because my girlfriend will sometimes say, like, I'll say, it's hot out. And she'll go, you grew up in Michigan where it gets really hot in the summers. I was like, yeah, but that doesn't fucking mean it's not hot. Like, the hot is hot. It doesn't matter where you lived.
Unless you live somewhere really cold and then you go somewhere else and they're like, this is fucking nothing.
I hate when people do that. Trust me,
know.
It's like, admit that you're cold. I can see you shivering.
They wear their, like, North Face jackets. All right, let's see. I'm going to tweet a live... Is it North Face? Is that the right
name?
Yeah. I'm going to tweet a tweet right now saying, live special episode podcast being recorded. Send us questions that you want answered. It can be anything you think of.
The funny thing is you're acting like this is a live stream and the people who are listening to this podcast right now can answer to that, even though it happened 2 or 3 days earlier.
It's the only thing I know. All right, so sending tweet.
Awesome. So let's... Dodd-Matrick... How about dem apples, right?
Hopping off that ship.
So
that
Don Matrick, head of Microsoft Interactive.
A lot of people think he's head of Microsoft, period.
He's head of, he has a long ass title, which essentially boils down to he's in charge of Xbox. He was, rather, in charge of Xbox.
It annoys me that people thought that he was the head of
Microsoft.
I'm like, come on, Steve Ballmer, how can you forget someone as important? Big is Steve Ballmer.
The ball man, as we like to call him.
The ball.
You're going to hear a lot of pauses from me while I try to stifle a cough in this
Henry's
podcast.
Dying. But yeah, Steve Ballmer is now working, or not Steve Ballmer. Don Matrick's now working at Zynga.
Zynga, yeah. He's their
That's
CEO.
That's like the biggest, I'm tired of you fucking hardcore gamer douchebags.
Pretty much.
I just want to cater to the women who like to spend money on Farmville and stuff.
The whales, as they
but
call
But this
them.
Had
the
to be in the hopper for a while. Like, you can't, you don't just.
Did it?
I think, well, I bet it, I bet this predates the Xbox One announcement.
I bet you it doesn't.
Really?
I bet you he had.
I don't know.
I mean,
these kind of talks have to go
especially
on for a bit.
Especially
CEO.
I bet you
had an invitation that he was like, no.
I hope it, like, came up in his Facebook, like, on the right-hand side. It just says, like, you got invitation to to be
CEO.
No,
I bet you I'm sure he's probably friends with the guy who was in charge of Zynga, who looks exactly fucking like him.
They look like a cute couple in that picture.
They do.
Like, not even a cute
They're
couple.
Standing
like,
in that
they look like
hallway.
like a cute set of twins.
My favorite part was on Twitter, somebody face-swapped them through Photoshop, and you could not tell which was the original image and which was the altered.
Mark Pincus, that's such a... loser name.
Wow. That's way to be rude to Mark Pincus.
He didn't do anything.
It's also just crazy to me that Matrick would go to Zynga. Like, Zynga's hated way more than Microsoft.
Yeah, but not by people who actually yell. Like, they're hated by people who are like, man, Zynga sucks. Microsoft is like, boo, you game always online.
Didn't they just lay off a bunch of people, too, Zynga?
I mean, it's
they have been.
They've been doing it monthly.
Right.
Well, now they usually hide it under announcements from other companies.
Right. Well, like, now their big move isn't, aren't they entering into the legal gambling space? Like, that's
no, they did that a while ago. They're actually, realistically, their big move recently has been trying to move away from the super casual market towards more mid-core.
Hmm.
And the games I've played from them are pretty interesting. There's like a good MOBA.
Oh, what did did they rip off for that one?
No, this one's actually kind of... The thing was, they just started hiring people who actually make games. So they hired some ex-Trion guys to make a MOBA. And the way their MOBA works is like... it's 3v3. You can play on a tablet, a phone, or Facebook. And you're playing against each other. And the way it works is there's certain champions that are actually better suited for different... play styles. Like, if you're playing on a tablet, it's going to recommend you play a character that doesn't have any skill shots. You only have, like, self-targeting abilities.
Huh.
And it's 3v3 with no creeps, but every time an enemy... For every enemy that is dead, their turrets shoot slower. So it essentially fulfills the same goal of you want to wipe the enemy team so you can destroy their tower.
Oh, I see.
It's actually really clever.
Yeah, that's cool.
They showed off that and some game that I remember being super pumped for when I saw it at GDC that I don't remember a single thing about.
Hmm. Why? Well, if this wasn't planned too far ahead of time, then you also wonder, did he get that offer? And then when he said, when he went to his boss, is like, so do you want to keep me? They said... take that offer and get out of here.
You should leave. I think it was sort of like, hey, do you want to take this job? And he was like, nah, I'm good. And then after all the shit that went down, he's just like, hey, is that offer still on the table?
It's still good.
I had what has to be the worst week of my career. I'd really appreciate not dealing with this ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's he came to, like, Metric had been also made fun of, so, like, public, like, I always go back to that New York Times article where Bobby Kotick, like, it was a profile of him, and he one of the first things they talked about is how he's so hated, and that Google results for him are Bobby Kotick is a devil, and how that really gets to him. And I wonder if that did it to, you know, Matrick as well.
If you Google him, there's just a picture of, one of the pictures of him is just a picture of him with fuck gamers written underneath it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's one of those situations where I imagine no matter your resilience to that kind of stuff, to be just constantly, you know, internet assaulted for your image.
Well, when I read,
it's got to be exhausting.
When I read two YouTube comments that say I'm annoying or get out of here, fat ass, like, it really kind of hurts.
It gets you down.
It really hurts.
So imagine 2 million people saying that same shit, like, go fucking kill yourself, you idiot. It's just like,
and we say that having made fun of his face for about 4 years now on GamesRadar.
Funniest thing is the fact that, like, of all of the people in this room, when we did an article about, like, motivational posters we want to hang up in the office of his replacement, your first response, Henry, was, do what about his dumb smile?
Yeah, it was my first joke.
So you went right for the throat immediately.
Well, because the smile, one of the best pictures of the Xbox One reveal is just him on stage, the Xbox behind him, and he's presenting like,
please like this? I don't know.
The questions are rolling in via the tweets.
Should we explain why we're not doing the top seven? Or?
Oh, so the top seven this week was done by the UK team. It was the top seven most badass Brits.
Yeah.
It was a really good fucking top seven.
They did a great job.
That we just realistically can't speak to...
Britishness?
The Britishness of them, because a lot of the focus was on how motherfucking British they are.
If there were an eighth person to put on there, I would vote Cammy from Street Fighter.
Let's run through the top seven real quick before we get to the questions.
All right.
Real quick, though. Number seven, Kate Archer from No One Lives Forever. What a good game that no one is ever going to play because they just don't feel like re-releasing it.
Lady James Bond.
That game is so good.
Awesome game.
Professor Layton. I love Professor Layton.
I would call into question his Britishness because I feel like it's all made up areas there. Like, he is 100% British, but does the Isle of England exist in the universe of Professor Layton?
That's true. Number five, Haytham Kenway. Significantly better than the main character of Assassin's Creed 3. I liked Haytham.
Yeah, I did too.
But Cammy's nice behind could have gone in that spot instead.
No, I like Haytham more. He's also very British. Number four, Captain Ash from Time Splitters.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's a blast from the past.
Number three, Lady Croft from Tomb Raider.
Uh-huh.
Number two, Dudley from Street Fighter 4. And number one, Captain Price from Call of Duty Modern Warfare, who deserves to be on any top seven we ever do based solely on his mustache.
Yeah. It's impressive.
He is something else, that Captain
Price. I love how the UK also added, for no reason, but I appreciate it, little like Union Jack flags, just little like a little circle onto every picture for no reason. It's not at all something –
that I would have ever thought of doing, and it's so damn funny to me. What is their equivalent of July 4th? I think it's St. George's Day or something.
I think it's on July 4th where they all get in a circle and cry.
Oh, come on now.
Face!
Hey, why don't we all do British...
Nope.
Oh, yeah. No. Trust me. Henry's imitations are
Henry's got great
incredible.
Impersonations.
So, Henry, please give me your best... Wait. We have to present him with a scenario that he has to talk about in a British accent. Quick. Something important.
Important.
Something good. Okay, Henry, tell us about the time you saw the fireworks from a beach while you were sipping a mint julep in your best British accent.
Don't start yet. Keep delaying. I got to try something.
So fireworks at the beach.
Yeah,
so
here's the scene. You're out with your family, and that can be whoever you want it to be, just your theoretical family, at a nice beach. Okay.
The sun is setting.
The sun is setting. The waves are rolling in. They're frothy with all the seaweed froth.
Mosquitoes are coming out.
I don't know what causes that.
Seaweed foam.
The seagulls are crawling in the background.
One of them's eating an abandoned McDonald's cheeseburger that somebody left.
Hey, here's a funny seagull beach story real quick. So it was on a family vacation. You know, we go to McDonald's before, and I, like, insist on getting a... when they out their molten hot apple pies,
they're so good.
I ate it.
They're also so hot.
Then I went so high. All right, and I'm like 8 years old at this point. Then I go swim. I eat it. Go swimming like 10 minutes later, and then like I swallow some seawater, and I immediately get out like throw up on the beach.
Hot apple pie.
Yeah, mostly apple pie.
Still piping hot.
And then the seagulls went to town on that. The seagulls love that vomit.
They burned their beaks.
Christ. So can you tell that same story except with a British accent?
Please do.
All right.
What do we?
So, me and my family went on holiday in the colonies, and we went to the beach in northern Florida. And while we were there, I had to have one of those apple crisps that they sell at the McDonald's. And after we went to the shore for some good old-fashioned fun, I drank too much tea far too quickly and had to empty my stomach on the sandy shores of Florida. And that was quite a busman's holiday.
Beautiful, Henry.
Oh my God, I'm
beautiful.
Weeping.
And also, a full apology from GamesRadar.com.
That was a far...
What Henry just did does not represent the views of the rest of the staff.
I would like to visit England someday. I think it would be cool.
I just did, right now.
I was jealous Sophia got to visit Bath and see our co-workers there in the UK.
That was good.
But I guess I'd really only want to go to London. Maybe Manchester.
Maybe Manchester.
Who knows?
See the orchestra there.
So what questions do we have coming?
All right. Let's get to some questions. If Henry had to give up playing Nintendo games for a year, what would he play?
Ooh.
This question comes from J Dizzle 04.
Well, I guess I catch up on all the unplayed non-Nintendo games that I haven't played. I think I would focus first on, I would still play Japanese games because I'm almost as much of a nerd for that. So probably, I would start with the Phantasy Star 4.
He's so disgusted by not playing Nintendo games.
I would start with Phantasy Star 4. I'd probably have to play, Sonic games a little bit, I suppose. And, boy, it's tough, but, I guess maybe I'd try living like a bro gamer and just playing, like, I'd play all the Call of Duty and Battlefield that I haven't played yet.
Pounding back the Bud Lights.
The Bud Light.
Electric Spock says, does Henry have a Twitter? I've always wanted to follow him, but he's so shy at giving out his handle.
Yes, my Twitter address is HENREYG. That's HENREYG.
Henergy.
At Henergy.
Henry E.
Let's see.
Could you give it again real quick?
HENEREYG on Twitter.
Thank you. I just
what's about?
Anyways, at Bushy Dorage, who is the cutest animal in Animal Crossing, other than Henry Gilbert?
That's a good question.
Well, I'll say my favorite townsfolk is Bangle the Tiger.
I actually fucking hate Bangle the Tiger. Bangle the Tiger said he wanted to move, and all I did for the next week is dig holes around his house, so I hoped he would move faster. I'd go with...
Not who's your favorite, who's the cutest.
I know. I also I just don't think he's cute. I think he's a garbage monster.
But he has a cheetah. Monster. Mine at least has a cheetah print on his umbrella. I mean, come on, he's
got the
tiger
skin of another animal.
So I would say, even though I've abandoned Animal Crossing because I think this game is ridiculous, my favorite character or the cutest character in my village was Caroline. She was a nice white squirrel that walked around. I know somebody's about
squirrel.
To. Yep, there it is. I knew as soon as I said it. I was just
ready
trying to describe
ready for my impression of Ryan. Yeah, I have this nice white squirrel in my town. Pure white squirrel.
She's purebred. Walks around. She's a nice lady.
You know, there was a funny GIF I saw this weekend, which was from a CNN story where I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but the Trayvon Martin thing is happening, and one of the points that the defense was trying to say was like, they called that guy a cracker. That's hate speech. And so the CNN picture was like, it was a panel of like five black people and one white guy. And it said under it, like, what's more offensive, the N-word or cracker? And like every black person in the picture was just like making a very fed up face. And the best response I saw to that was like, you know which one's more offensive? The one you're not writing out. That's the one that's more offensive.
No, I did see that. I think it was like MSNBC bleeped it when they were showing their...
cracker?
I mean, let's also be honest. Nobody is offended by the term cracker. It's just a ridiculous term.
It's a slur. It's
I get it.
One.
Yeah, it's just...
You know where it goes back to, right? It is like
Spartan
a whip cracker.
Spartan laser.
Someone cracking the whip, aka the slave master.
Really?
You call the cracker. That's your.
I was under the impression that was a saltine cracker because they're bland and
yeah, they're also bland and nothingness. Just like they're very bland, like white people are. But
Who would win in a fight, Tom or Lucas?
Tom.
Yeah, I think Tom would for sure.
Tom keeps himself in pretty good shape.
Lucas would go into the fetal position within... he's in the fetal position now because that conversation is happening.
I could see Lucas going into like a rage mode.
No.
No.
If pushed hard enough.
I think
you
Lucas
know him
is
pretty
like
well.
Me
I do know Lucas
in
pretty
that
well.
He has no pain tolerance. And
I think
he's also
he'd
scared of confrontation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He would... Well, if pushed hard enough, he would go into like a fury mode.
I think he would go into
a fetal
position.
He would see red... And, okay.
No, because that's how I get, and I end up acting really stupid when I get, like, super angry, and I get that fury mode, and I see that in other people. Henry would go into that fury mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't think Lucas has it in him?
Would I go into the fury mode?
Oh, absolutely not.
What?
You have no pain tolerance. You would do what a lot of people do, which is just, like, I'm going to drop down and hold my hands like fists, but hold them in front of places I don't want to be injured.
False. I would immediately start doing the helicopter defensive move to just spin in circles. You can't touch me! You can't hit me!
Like, last week when you did that and knocked my phone out of my hand?
I'm sorry, that was an accident.
It Hurts to Poop wants to know, where do they get the seeds to grow seedless grapes?
It's Monsanto.
That's brilliant.
It is Monsanto. You can look it up.
Yeah.
It's an umbrella corporation. Are we planning on doing these more often? Special episodes.
I mean, we really hope not. And judging from the caliber of questions we've gotten so far, I'd say that when left to the community, we are given nothing.
Sunny D2, what's your favorite college memory?
Oh, boy.
The Ryan Show.
Oh, God, I have so many of them, and some of which I'm not sure I should.
I still have the laser sound
divulge.
Oh, come on. We've got to get through a couple of these.
Just one.
All right. All right, this one my friends still tease me for all the time.
Go on.
I'm
gonna
sorry.
Be good.
I was on a bowling league.
Let's get a little background.
Every Tuesday night, we'd bowl and drink. And I happened to be talking to this this woman on Facebook that I had never met.
Perfect.
And she drove 2 hours to come visit me.
Oh.
Tuesday night at about 12 a.m., which should have immediately been a warning sign. And she walked in the door. I mean, because, you know, we had very similar interests, and she was fun to talk to, but I'd only ever—it was like one of those kind of MySpace angle pictures, so I'd never actually seen her in person.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked in, and She left right after.
What?
I mean,
she walked in, looked at you, and left?
No. She walked in, and I said, "Okay, I'm going to bed. See ya." And
two-hour drive.
Yeah, that's about. But no, I think
I love how all of Ryan's college stories are Ryan being a dick.
A lot of them are. Yeah,
she drove all that way.
I know. Well, I felt really bad, and then we didn't talk anymore.
The lesson should be just don't surprise someone by like. It's a risky thing to be like, surprise, I'm here.
Yeah, hey, I made it. Nice to meet you. I'm like, oh, okay, I have to go. See ya. I don't know.
Let's see, college story. Jeez.
All of mine involve magic cards, and none of them are interesting.
No shameful.
I have a shameful one. Here's one. So I had a 8 a.m. science class in my senior year, and I commuted to college. I had about an hour drive. My next class was at 1. So you can guess how often I went to my 8 a.m. class.
Rarely. Yeesh.
After not going I went like twice and then didn't go for like a solid month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and realized that I had like a 20% because she had given pop quizzes every few days. And had to beg the teacher to allow me to do better in the class. And she ended up letting me do, like, she originally had like 10 different extra credit assignments. We could only do one if we didn't miss any classes. So I ended up spending the next few weeks doing every single extra credit assignment and getting a B in the class, which I'm pretty sure was technically impossible considering how badly I was failing the class, and she just took pity on me.
Wow. 8 a.m. class is the worst. I had a semester where I had to go Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. I had a class. It was the worst thing ever.
I had a class. I signed up for world literature, and I was sure it was going to be just about like, oh, like, we get to read, I'll get to discover all these writers from all across, like, different countries and regions I never heard of, but it starts, like, with the book starts with the history of world literature, and then our elderly evangelical teacher was like, ah, this means I can teach the Bible, and so half of the damn class was just her going, like, well, we'd be on to something else, but, you know, Job is an interesting story, too. I was like, fucking hey. And then I actually got mad at her, like, in my protest were to write, like, atheist screeds as essays back about the stories. And, like, with Job, when I was like, yeah, leave it to God to put you in a stupid challenge that you can't win because he has to prove something to the devil. Like, what a dumb story. And then her response to that, I have to give her, I wrote it more eloquently than that, but her response to that was just like, isn't it nice that God gives us the free will to say these types of things? And I was like, you can't even get mad at me back. Yeah, but her craziest bit was like, so this was also in the run-up to the Iraq War, which the class is pretty much split 50-50 on feelings on that.
Where'd you go to school?
But this is in Northern Florida.
Okay, that explains a lot.
University of Northern Florida. But at the end, as it was going on, she was like, well, look, why don't we just look at the differences between Jesus and Muhammad, okay? I was like, oh, fucking shit. Like, it was uncomfortable. But she, you know what? Honestly, she still gave me like a B when I dicked around in her class.
Speaking of dicking around, Lucas Giarvola sent us a tweet. He says, do we have any of those play safe condoms from E3?
No.
Did you see any of those?
No.
Was it this year's E3?
I don't know.
All I got was water balloons. And they did not work very well. But well, I didn't see any condoms.
I would have kept some for just for posterity's sake.
Play safe condoms.
But, like, that's such a silly thing. Like, who's having sex at E3? Like, come on.
No one has ever had sex at E3.
Should we talk about, since we're probably not going to separate segments today, should we talk about that?
Sex at E3?
No, the thing about LJ.
Absolutely.
Should we do that now?
Brought up at some point. Do you have it loaded?
I do.
Okay.
So, last week we asked everyone to, or not, yeah, we asked everyone. We asked every single one of you. If you would write and record a few bumpers for us, a few different jingles. We've gotten a few. So far, this is our favorite, and it's for the community segment, which for the next 2 weeks is not going to actually star Greg, but
yep,
here we go.
I love that so much.
It's really good.
Thank you very much for sending that. That was fantastic.
Like the Cure or Bauhaus kind of thing.
Radio Radar.
It gets stuck in your head.
It really does. Oh, that's beautiful.
It's so good.
That's really good.
You're getting a lot of emails.
I'm blowing up, man. Let me see what that email is. Let's read my email live on the... All right, we're going to explore... let me make sure there's no... explore the mysterious realms of the Edge of Twilight and Aether Above on iOS. Hi, Hollander. Edge of Twilight, Aether Above on iOS just went live today on the iTunes App Store for $2.99. Featuring realistic steampunk design.
All right.
Realistic.
So this developed is the whole community segment, because they're all live community questions, right?
Yes.
Or are we going to pick a winner from last week's question of the week?
Are there any other questions for this week while I look this up?
Yes. Why do you think Microsoft did a 180 on the X1 policies after defending it to death at E3 from Samer AFC?
Jimmy Kimmel. Or James, not Jimmy Kimmel.
James Kimball.
Jimmy Fallon. I honestly think Jimmy Fallon's show had a huge part. Like, that was like, oh shit, this leaked. Almost like it's like we need to contain this.
Right.
It's like a zombie movie when they finally decide to nuke the city because they realize their containments have failed.
Jimmy Fallon, who follows us on Twitter now, starting at E3.
Well, because Jimmy Fallon is supposedly a gamer, and his audience are the regular folks. And so when regular folks are like, hey, this doesn't play. I heard this doesn't play used games. Like, that's when they know their messaging failed.
What about that Edge cover?
Oh, boy, yeah.
That was just a couple minutes ago, right?
Well, you know, I don't want to speak ill of our sister magazines, but I will say that back in 2006, they had a cover that said the PS3 is going to conquer the world. So, you know.
Well, talk about what this one is.
Well, it's just it's an image of the PS4, and it says the cover line is something to the effect of "This is your next generation console." And then there's a cover blurb right next to it that says how Microsoft blew it or something like that. It's very much
provocative. I think Edge has a stronger case this year than they did in 2006 for saying that Sony has the best console to get.
Yeah.
Who in 2006 could possibly have said that the PlayStation 3, if you could only get one system, the PlayStation 3 is the one to get? Like, who?
Yeah.
I wonder, too,
with the way the print schedule works, when that had been sent to production versus when Xbox.
I would bet, definitely before the Xbox 180. I bet they were waiting up to the end of E3 and then shipped right after E3.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it could potentially not even have the updated Microsoft
Server. This one's just for you, Ryan. Which League of Legends champion would you say best describes your personality?
Oh, Jesus.
From
Which one
Lewis
dies
Slater.
The most? describes my personality?
We know who Tom's would be.
Volibear,
obviously.
Because that's just
he's
who
he
is.
He's a volatile bear.
Obnoxious bear who puts people who does nothing but put people behind him.
Gosh, that's a tough question.
Oh, I'm trying to think. You would definitely...
One champion that's like really fucking weird is probably a good one. I'm blanking so hard.
Kog'Maw.
I mean, you drink a lot. So Gragas makes sense.
Yeah, Gragas, he's fat and drinks.
But you don't play as Gragas.
No, I don't play Gragas, but that...
Who do you play as?
I play a lot of Thresh, Caitlyn, Tristana, Draven, and Sona. Those are my main characters that I play.
Female characters. And Nasus.
You should
none of those are represented.
So right now, Tom's playing as Hecarim. You should play as Nasus with him, so you guys can be a dog and pony show.
Oh, boy. I think Gragas is a good choice.
All right. Yeah. Gragas.
I have nothing to add to this.
All right.
So I have some answers from last week's question of the week.
What was the question?
What's the funniest game you've ever played?
Ah, right.
Super Paper Mario had a great sense of humor, according to Ricasso121. I was expecting another wordless story along the lines of other Super Mario titles, and this one had some really intelligent writing.
All right.
Mattel 9. I'll go with Super Meat Boy. There were no jokes.
It was all physical gags.
But the comedic timing of the cutscenes was fantastic. Squirrel decapitations have never made me laugh so hard.
Well, I'm going to go. Let me say one.
Weren't you here? Oh, okay.
I want to change mine from last week.
Pat Hanbehigh? He says,
old Pat Hanbehai.
He says the funniest game I've ever played is SmackDown versus Raw 2011. Me and my bro had fun staging matches and creating super weird and hilarious characters and adding the fart attack to almost every wrestler command list.
I mean, you kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
Reigns Gadar said, Portal 2 is the funniest game I've ever played, and that's perfectly fine and funny, but for it to be the funniest game makes me sad for myself. And I saw a lot of Portal 2 brought up in here. Some people bring up
hilarious.
Bladed Falcon. Odd as it might sound, the funniest game comes to mind was To the Moon.
What?
Yes, I know people remember it for being a real tearjerker, but the game was genuinely funny for the most part. The two doctors specifically were damn charming, and their antics pop into my head more vividly than any other game I can think of. And that's true. There are scenes where he just like randomly makes video game references.
Oh, and yeah, and when you find like the Animorphs book on the library shelf, I was like, that was really cool.
Made me giggle.
You laughed so hard you cried, and then you just end up crying.
I'm changing mine from last week to Battle Block Theater. The narrator in that is probably one of the funniest things in video games I've ever heard.
Ever?
Yeah. I think it's funnier than Deadpool.
I'm going to say the winner is God.
Wow, that's a long post.
I would have to say Borderlands 2. What a turnaround from the first being extraordinarily okay with tidbits of humor here and there to the sequel, which had a much better characters like Handsome Jack, Tiny Tina, and Ellie, as well as better dialogue and hilariousness from returning characters Claptrap, Brick, and Scooter. And then he also wrote like 8 more paragraphs.
His name's God?
G-O-D.
All right. G-O-D.
It's just dog
backwards. G-O-double-D-G.
Get a hold of me, Greg H. at GamesRadar.com. Let's close out this segment with the song again.
Not
that song.
Well, actually, this is closing out the show, not the segment.
Over.
I wanted to talk about Muramasa Rebirth. Well, now I don't want to. It's just, let's remake the. I think we're not going to even have a review for it, but I thought it was pretty good.
I think Nugget's working on a review.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But who?
Nugget?
Nugget?
Oh, yeah. We have an intern.
Yes.
And
wasn't he on part of the show?
No, I don't think he's been on any of them.
He was on a live stream. He was on a live stream.
He's not here. He's probably busy eating chicken nuggets. Am I right?
All right.
Woo!
So his real name is Dave...
David Leo.
Dave M. But we call him Nugget because he is a hardcore vegetarian.
Hardcore.
But he only eats chicken nuggets.
Yes. When he breaks, and he often does, it seems.
Yeah. It's chicken. Are they McNuggets?
McNuggets.
Yes. Chicken McNuggets. Not chicken tenders. Not nuggets from any other place.
I think he said he'd be cool with nuggets from other places.
Really?
Yeah.
What a weird thing. I mean, because every time.
But never chicken tenders.
Never.
Well, whenever we go to Chipotle, he just gets.
Thank you for correcting yourself.
Cheese quesadillas.
Yep.
He just is like, please press 2 pieces of bread together with cheese in it for me, please.
Well, I will eat 20 chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, it's weird that he has, he technically is a vegetarian, except for those nuggets, but, like, he's an unexciting vegetarian. He's just like, just cheese and bread. Like,
usually it's like I'm going to go. It's like, I'll get beans and throw in some salsa. And he's just like, no. He has to save room for all those chicken nuggets.
And then I can't help but think to myself, oh, my God, I would die if I tried to eat just a piece of bread and some cheese for one day. I would be dead.
I have that all the time.
Do you have bread and cheese all the time?
No. But I did have a quesadilla for lunch, which was just bread, cheese, and meat.
Meat makes it into essentially a Maramasa.
It's a very pretty platformer.
I had the soundboard again.
It's a very pretty platformer, but it was just nice to play. I hadn't played a Vita game in so long. I was like, yeah, this is a great system. I always forget.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's any fucking games on it.
I'm going to play.
I thought you were making a voice, but you were actually trying to starve off death.
I'm excited. I'm playing the Vita for the first time tomorrow because I have a 12-hour. Thank you. I have a 12-hour plane flight. And so I've been asking what games I should play.
Persona 4, the Golden.
And that's apparently at the top of the list.
There you go. That'll take up your entire vacation. Well, I think before we should close it out, we should maybe have Henergy tell us one more tale.
Well, let's do next week's question of the week.
Okay.
Should it be one of these questions?
Is there any of them good? Good one?
What's your favorite non-video game? That's not Magic the Gathering.
I'll go with my current flavor of the week. Mm-hmm. And also, by the week, I mean the last few months.
Sure.
Avalon. Mm. So, there's a game called the Resistance, where essentially...
That's mine.
Avalon's the same as the Resistance.
Oh, mine's going to be
the
Resistance.
Like is it an expansion for
it's
Resistance?
It's a remake, essentially. Oh, okay. So, essentially what you do is you have... Let's say you have four people playing, like this group. Three people will be... you send people on missions to try to go out and do missions. Mm-hmm. And when they go on missions, they have to vote as to whether or not they want the mission to succeed or fail. And if somebody votes fail, the whole mission fails. And three fails and the whole game is a loss.
Sure.
But you have somebody intentionally working against the rest of the group because the votes are down. And you have to choose who to send on the missions. And Avalon in particular adds the element of Merlin, who knows who the bad guys are.
Oh.
So he and
but he can't vote?
Well, no, he can vote, and he knows who the bad guys are. But at the end of the game, if the good guys win, the bad guys get to choose someone to assassinate.
Nice.
And if they assassinate Merlin, they still win. So Merlin needs to hide that he is Merlin.
Ah.
So it's best played with like five or six people when you have like two or three spies working against the rest of the group. It is so freaking fun.
That sounds like an expansion of Mafia.
Mafia, yeah.
Wait, you guys heard of Mafia?
No.
Like, you can play it with regular, like, a deck of cards.
Yeah, you barely need any cards. You just have a circle of people. You say three or four of you are the Mafia. Everybody else are town folks, but then two people are detectives. And each turn...
No, there's a sheriff and there's a medic, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. But, I've only heard detectives, Mafia, townsfolk.
Okay.
So the Mafia secretly kill, silently pick one person to kill each
Everybody
turn.
Puts their head down and closes their eyes.
Then you all vote on who the Mafia is. And the detective can open their eyes to see who the Mafia is. But if they get too good at suggesting who the Mafia is, then the Mafia knows to kill him.
It sounds like much more complicated and also less...
It's not complicated at all. There's one guy who's the narrator. And so everyone's sitting in a circle. And so the narrator's like, and one fine day, you know, Hollander Cooper was walking around, and a brick fell from the tree and landed on his head, thus killing him. So then you would be out of the game. Everyone else would put their heads down, and then I would say, okay, Mafia, put your heads up. Whoever was the Mafia would look around the room, and I'd say, who do you want to kill? And they look around. They agree amongst themselves just by eye contact. They point on somebody. I say, okay. So they put their heads back down. Then I say, Sheriff. Sheriff picks his head up. I say, who do you want to accuse? And then he points to somebody. And I, you know, tell him yes or no by a head shake. And then put his down. And then I say, okay, doctor, bring your head up. So the doctor puts his head up. I say, who do you want to save? And so he can choose somebody else. And I say, okay, put your heads down. Then everybody puts their heads up. And then you tell the next part of the story. And so, like, oh, and Ryan Talzhenik was going for a stroll along the beach enjoying a mint julep when a random car came out of nowhere, hit him in the side.
What?
But thankfully, the doctor was around and got Ryan back to health. So Ryan's still in the game. And then there's a whole round of everyone's guessing who the Mafia is. And if you can suss out the Mafia without the Mafia killing everyone else, then you win.
So yes, this sounds like that, except with cards and the rule, and like a board, but the board is just like
tokens. The
fun of tokens.
It is you have to argue your innocence with people.
That's what this does too. Yeah. Where it's like, no, if you think back, there was only one negative vote in the third round, and I was in that group, so it couldn't possibly be me.
Yeah.
So yeah,
people lying to their spouses' faces.
There was a time where I think I was playing with Lucas, where I looked at Lucas and I said, "If you're lying right now, I can never trust you again."
And did he crawl into a ball and go back to his room?
I think he was telling the truth. What about you, Ryan?
Mine is the Resistance, which is, again, another one of those types of games.
It's like, the same exact game without Merlin.
It is, yep.
I feel like Merlin really gives that one the edge.
Yeah, that is really cool. I haven't played Avalon yet.
You haven't?
No.
It's not only Merlin. There's like six different modifier cards you can play with.
Oh, cool.
Each one makes it easier for the other side to win, or makes it easier for one side to win to balance it out. So if you're playing with friends and it's like over and over again the good guys are losing, you add in like there's a card that makes it so there's an evil person who doesn't know who the rest of the evil people are. So he just kind of has to sabotage stuff at his own pace, and it can end up fucking over his side even more.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'll definitely want to check that out.
I have it in my car.
So played it in about 7 years, but I was big into tabletop RPGs, specifically White Wolf. Like, Other people were really into the D20 stuff, but I felt it was just too many rules. Too many rules getting in the way of storytelling. That's what White Wolf is, a storyteller's game. All you need are D10s, about 12 at most. And it's just
per
about...
Per person?
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That's a lot of dice.
D20, you only need one bag of dice. One seven dice. That's all you need.
No, you need only up to 12.
Only 40 D10s. That's all you need.
No. 12 is generous. So you can get away with 10 and just borrow for the couple times. You'd have more. But no, in much simpler character maps, it was just about like you creating your character and like explaining yourself, really living the role playing of a of your character. And I play a lot of Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, that's cool. Good stuff.
Less so of Werewolf. I just didn't like the rules of Werewolf as much, but I really love Mage. Mage was my favorite.
I'm totally getting a D&D game going in the office.
Mage,
yeah, I've never played.
Mage was basically the Matrix, where like you were the dudes against you were totally agents, and you
agents.
Gotcha. agents. And but you could just do whatever you thought of. Like it was the most mind expanding because like. You would have instead of like specific arts you could do or whatever, it's just, hey, if you use this thing as a medium, you can do anything with electricity. Oh, so I could like pour this potion on an electrical outlet and it would make a living being of electricity that could tell me who's been in this room for 10 days. Like if you thought of that and your DM was okay with it, you could do it.
I feel like that's, and I'm not saying I know a lot of people act that way, but it's like I feel like any dice-based tabletop game can be that open as long as the DM
yeah,
does
I guess
their job.
I've just been on the few D20 games I played, like of D&D or Cyberpunk, which is very much like, oh, I have these skills. I'll use them one-to-one. Like there was little imagination with it. So the openness of mages' powers
right.
made you have to be more creative.
Gregorio.
I'm getting back into poker. We played poker.
Sure did.
The other night.
Sure. And, lost my money very quickly.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Is that a strip
okay.
poker game?
So I wish. That would have been great.
Me too. I would have. Everyone would have won instead of just me.
Well, I got second place. Anyways, interesting part of this is everyone came over. Some had their significant others. Yeah, you had a long Bart.
A long Bart ride.
Yeah, and leaving from the other Bart would have made his Bart ride like what, 10 minutes longer? You can't ask Henry to do that.
20.
I
would have played Pokemon for 20 more minutes.
So the people who brought their significant others, aside from Coop,
yes,
it got to be about close to midnight, and you could tell that the women were ready to go.
Ryan's girlfriend, who was playing, was just like, I am so done playing.
She was because she kept going all in on every play. Like, I'm fucking all in. And we're like, seriously, come on. And she's like, no, I'm all in.
Yeah. And so
but she wasn't doing it to be funny. She just wanted to stop playing.
I know. And I was admittedly too drunk to know what was happening.
you were really drunk.
And Tom's wife was giving him the nudge, like, let's get out of here. And Tom was like, all right, but I want
to
play.
Tom was so excited to play.
So mm-hmm. within a 10-minute period, like, everyone went all in who wanted to leave almost every hand, and so like all the chips went everywhere. It wasn't the best situation to play poker.
But by the end, when we had three people left, we had a good...
Yeah, it was me, Coop, and Evan Lottie.
Evan Lottie.
PC Gamers,
was it his birthday?
Yes. It was his birthday on Saturday.
Which is, we got into Saturday, and that's when we took his money.
That's true.
Happy birthday,
were
punk.
You playing for real money?
Yeah. Yeah. $10 buy-in.
I walked away with everyone's money.
Except my money.
Except
and
yours.
$10, because I got second place.
Yeah.
So you walked away with everybody's. I got my money back plus 10 for being second, and then you walked away with the rest.
Yep.
But that's not the last game we're going to play.
The funny thing
we're
is,
gonna have to play again.
I haven't played many times, and Greg has played a lot more than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept doing. I kept being like, I guess I can do this, and I would do something, and Greg would be like, damn it, that's the perfect thing to do right then. And I'd be like, yes.
You're just a natural.
Yes,
what
it was.
You say?
That's exactly why I did it. It wasn't because I was scared.
But aside from poker, I would have to say...
Chipotle.
Risk is one of my favorite board games.
Risk's a good one.
I have probably seven or eight different versions of Risk.
Oh, that's way too many.
Classic
Risk. All Star
Risk, Wars. Not all Star Wars. Only one of them is original trilogy Risk, but it does have the best variation on how to play Risk. because you have the Rebels, the Imperials, and the Hutts.
The Hutt Empire.
Have you played this version?
No, I just know that's what they're called.
Yeah, it's great because everybody has different win scenarios. And so if the Rebels blow up the Death Star, they win. If the Imperials wipe out the Rebels, they win. And if the Hutt Empire gets a certain amount of resource planets, then they win. So everyone's kind of trying to keep each other from accomplishing their ultimate goal.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah, and then like space combat comes into play, and there's just a whole lot of other rules. So there's tons of different ways to play Risk. Original Risk is great, too. I love playing that.
I haven't played any.
Nobody wants to sit down and play Risk because it takes a goddamn
long time. I want to sit down and play Risk.
Let's do it.
My family.
It ruins friendships.
I think
Monopoly is more of a friendship.
My family, Monopoly was the top angering thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like because in Monopoly, once you get past the third hour, you're like, fuck this. I fucking hate. People get so cutthroat. Your mom will undercut you for your
people
brother.
Are stealing 500 from the bank.
My dad used to go, let's do some wheeling and dealing, and then he would fucking screw me over because I didn't know what was happening.
You're a kid.
And he's like, hi, idiot.
I've had more than enough fights on. Oh, were you going to tell a Monopoly story?
Yeah, I was playing one of my first when Jess and I, my wife, had first. I think we had been dating for maybe a few months. Mm. She came over to play Monopoly with my little sister, who at the time was like 9 or something, or 10, and. We were playing, and she had Jess has always played by the rules of you can't let someone know. If I land on your property,
right.
No one's allowed to say anything. Only you can say it.
Oh,
but
right.
I was like, hey, you landed on her property,
uh-huh.
And we got in probably the worst fight we've ever gotten in over that. As my 11-year-old sister sat there like. I am responsible for them breaking up because we were like, no, fuck you. You don't give a shit about it. And it was like, she's just like, well,
don't even care about the rules.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen just with friends where everyone's house rules comes together.
That's what happens.
There was one time where I came in and every time taxes are collected and the money doesn't go to anybody, it doesn't go to the bank. You put it under free parking. And when someone lands on free parking, you get the money.
That's a house rule.
And then people were like, that's not in the rule book. Fuck you. Just do it.
Did you ever have the rule where if you landed on Go, you got $500?
No.
What?
Why would you do that?
If you land directly on Go, you get $500. But if you pass, you get $200.
No. I've sometimes done if you land on it, you get $200. And then when you pass, you get $200.
Hmm.
There should be a bonus because just landing on Go, sucks.
Nothing. Sometimes life sucks, Henry.
Yeah.
But I've played so many games of Risk, in high school where... It ends in incredibly betrayed feelings.
Definitely.
Like Ryan and I are we're fighting over a territory, but we're like, okay, you and I are going to stop fighting because we're going to focus on destroying Henry because Henry is taking over everything. So you and I are like, yeah, let's totally do that.
So we kill Henry.
But while we're killing Henry, you fucking sneak in the back door and take one of my lands that... negates a country bonus or something. That is, I get so incredibly passionate.
I leave you a little note that says, "I hope you wake up with a fist around you."
Kit Fisto.
I used to play. I had study hall in high school, and we never. I mean, nobody uses study hall for that. And my high school was actually we had block scheduling, so we had it was trying to get us ready for college. So our classes were double length, so we had hour and a half long classes.
Nice.
So study hall was an hour and a half long. So we. And it was always in the same room, which really wasn't used for anything else. So we would actually we brought in a Risk board and played Risk. And we would finish one game a week because we had
it three times a week.
We would just leave it
and
in the
no
room.
One ever came and fucked with it?
Nope.
Wow.
Man.
There were times where we would just be like, shit, we just have to write down where everything is because we have to change rooms or whatever. But we would play one game a week.
The person who was the biggest dick in Risk would be the one who'd be like, oh, I'm going to take Australia. Australia is... where the least balance of that game is because it's totally – you just have two doorways to Australia. There's no other way to get in.
My issue with Risk is that end game, not always, but always ends up coming down to, I just turned in a Risk card trio for freaking 90 units, and I'm going to put them on one thing and just slowly take over the entire world. And it's like
– I've had way too many games that they do that. They take over three-fourths of the map. And then the next guy has cards that he can turn in, so he does the exact same thing, takes over the map, and then it just that A takes forever.
It does.
You have to roll.
It feels like that game needs a different win condition.
Have you ever played on an iPad? There's a great Risk, like an official Risk app.
Oh, EA made a really good Risk game for XBLA.
Legacies?
And you can...
Factions,
yeah.
I like that a lot.
But the iPad one is great because you do the rolls, like, super fast, and so it'll just, like, take out your...
I just got pissed because, like, no good version of Risk, like video game version, has ever had the option to play online and save your game.
Right.
It's always, like, one or the other. And it's like, do you realize how fucking long it takes to play Risk? I can save a game of Civ. You're telling me I can't save a game of Risk?
Yeah, that would be great.
No,
and it's, like, something they probably could have done 10 years ago.
Oh, mm-hmm. Super easily.
I once played a game called Shogun, which is Risk on steroids, which, like...
I've heard of that game.
It's a Japanese-styled one where it's about conquering, you know, prefectures and stuff. But it lasted 12 hours. Like, we started in the morning of, like, well, come on, guys. This will be fun. Shogun, I just bought this. We started, like, it would not end until, like, it was 10 at night. And we're like, fuck it. Just kill me. Just take my land. You win.
Yeah, we got to set up a board game night in the office.
Yeah,
that's
really
what
fun.
This comes to. Let's do it. So, thank you for listening to this extremely focused Radio Radar, episode 45. Be sure to answer the question of the week, what's your favorite non-video game game, on the comment section of this article. And you can also shoot a message to us at GR Radio Radar.
Thank you for everybody that just sent us questions over Twitter.
Thank
that
you for doing
awesome.
Our prep.
Yeah.
And
maybe... So who's the most, real quick, the most American famous actor that you can think of?
Brad Pitt.
Harrison
Clint
Ford.
Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood's a good one. Maybe Henry can just leave us with a couple words about the upcoming holiday, and we'll head out.
Oh, wait, before we went to that, I wanted to also thank, there were like 5 new reviews after last week on iTunes, so thank you everybody who gave us, actually let me name a couple of the iTunes users, because you're probably listening. Let's see here, real quick. Your names are the names of the people I am thanking.
Greg.
They are. Hey, what? That's. I do not like this new one called. It's called Annoying Cackle.
Who's it about?
It's probably about Tom.
What spoils an otherwise decent podcast is that one guy who wouldn't stop giggling.
Probably Lucas.
Even when nothing funny is said and no one else is laughing, that dude would cackle in his super annoying, high pitched way.
Huh.
Just cut off his mic, spelled MIKE, and lock him in the toilet.
I don't know who it is. It's either Lucas or Tom.
Yeah. I think it might be Lucas.
Tom doesn't giggle when Tom has a ridiculous laugh.
He has a ridiculous
laugh.
But
it happens for a reason.
You're right. Lucas, might be Lucas.
Lucas, his nickname, which I gave him a long time ago over at PC Gamer, is Snickers.
Ah.
Because Lucas will sit at his desk and just
giggle all day
giggle
long.
And snicker at
you know
things
what?
He's reading.
We will lock Lucas
in
up.
The toilet.
I mean, I guess we have to lock him in the toilet.
Sorry, Lucas.
I can't let him around anybody named Mike.
We actually cut his mic. He's been in this room talking the whole time, but his mic is off.
A couple more. Baron Lombardi wrote one, said, finally finding its place. Like, finally, what the fuck, buddy? But thank you for your 5 stars. Theo Seraph, 1985, good stuff, 5 stars. My favorite podcast is BC Bone. And Mike K with 2 Y's says, I like when Henry farts.
he was the only guy that actually, that's what we wanted, right?
That's right. He was the only one to listen to these.
We did it! All right, so that's it for this episode, and we will talk to you next week.